God has given us these holy days that we might remember certain things. And as was said in the sermonette, they're for signs and for seasons. And if your mind, your heart, and your attention are all of God, you will keep, as the scripture says, the feast. We have begun the days of matzahs. Are you enjoying them? To be had on the mouth. Sit between the teeth. Uncup doubly. And you got to be digging, clearing. There's a reason for that. Life is not easy, especially the Christian life. We've got to do exactly what God has said. 6 more to go. Some people have come up with the idea that, well, you eat unleavened bread on the first day and that's it. Deuteronomy 16, I think in verse 3 and 4 said that 7 days you should eat unleavened bread. So every day, with every time you eat, have a piece of matzah. Matzos, I always call it matzah. Matzos, every time you eat. That could be pretty often. You ought to have a piece of matzos. Question was asked already in the sermonette. Why are we here? Why are you doing this Jewish thing? Are we trying to buy your salvation? Are we trying to impress God by eating vegetable dry bread? Absolutely not. We are endeavoring to obey God. Our entire lives, all of our lives, must be in subjection to God, striving to do exactly what God has said. Our scripture this morning is going to come. It's afternoon, I said morning. It's going to come from the book of Romans, chapter 5. Paul was quite a theologian. You cannot go around when you follow Paul, who himself said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Some weeks ago, running into months now, we had a series of about 3 or 4 sermons on the theology of Paul. And I find I cannot go wrong when I stick with Brother Paul, who was inspired by God and his son Jesus Christ to bring us God's precious truths. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. But God," that blessed conjunction, "but," that fills a whole big yawning chasm, "but," makes quite a difference. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," the last 3 words of that verse is where our topic comes from. Christ died for us. Verse 9. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. God have a blessing for his wonderful word, as we rejoice with what our brother Paul is saying here to us. Why do we have these days? Why do we celebrate the atonement? Why do we celebrate these apparently morbid times? In that first appearance of the Passion of the Christ appeared on the scene, my brother, he was here a couple of weeks ago, going back a couple of years when that film was first released, said to me, but why all that bleeding? Why all that blood? Why all that cruelty? I said to him, do you understand what our Savior suffered for us? Oh, you remember the years gone by with Passion Play? That was peanuts. That was a poor attempt, even though it was the best we had then, explaining and projecting what Christ suffered for us. So I told him, that's what you need to understand. He went back to see it. He said, Lomax, I got a whole different perspective on it. And what we need, brethren, is a new perspective as to what is released, what is shown, what is demonstrated by our topic. Christ died for us. Have you thought of the enormity of what that means? I didn't have to go far to find a sermon. Paul gives me nearly all the points I need for my sermon in these verses. Look at verse 6. We're going to go through these verses, and we'll see exactly how clearly and how powerfully and how meaningfully Paul lays out for us why Christ died for us. Do you know why Christ died for you? Another scripture says, the just for the unjust. Christ died for us. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you realize, brethren, that we had absolutely, they call it in some terms, we were at wit's end corner. Nowhere to turn. Nowhere to get to God. Christ said in the book of Hebrews, Father, prepare me a body that I may go down and give my life for the sins of the world. When, point one, we were without strength and ability, Christ died for us. I've seen different people come up to the cashier in the supermarket, lo and behold, pretending or not, the amount of the bill was more than they had. And they didn't know what to do. Should I take all of these goods and leave them in the store? Should I go back and put them in the exact places I took them from? And while they were at wit's end corner, some good Samaritan, some good Savior, said something, how much it is? And paid the balance of that person's bill. That's us, brethren. There was absolutely no way we could have paid the debt of our own sin. The Bible says we were condemned already. We couldn't get away. We were at, again, wit's end corner. When we were without strength or ability, Christ died for us. It would have been something to see on that day before the great white throne of God, you and I trying to pay our way into the kingdom of God. We couldn't do it. None could do it. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 and 18 says that no man takes my life. You get mad at the Romans, the Italians. You get mad at Pilate. Jesus said, no man takes my life. I lay it down of myself. Voluntarily, Christ stepped up and took our place instead. Was it last week? Policeman took the place of a hostage woman. And he was killed. The tragic story carried on the news. He was killed. And up to today, the woman cannot forgive herself. Because this man's life was lost. Could have been hers. That was us. All sins burdened us down. Our sins separated us from God. We were without strength at war. When Christ died for the ungodly. Did you know you were ungodly? I think one of the reasons people aren't appreciated sufficiently for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is that they did not believe nor understand that they were ungodly. We were good for nothing sinners. We were on our way to a Christless eternity. And Christ says, I'll take the place. I'll be the sacrifice that God needs. God and His Son Jesus Christ worked this out beautifully. The Bible tells us, He was the Lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. So point one is, why Christ died for us. We are and were without strength. We couldn't save ourselves. Hopefully we've not seen someone drown. But here that person snatching and grabbing and all you can find is water. Nothing to hold on to. Desperately needs salvation. Desperately needing a savior. And lo and behold, somebody might throw a rope to hold it, grab it. So he does. And to be saved. Verse 7. Paul gave me my sermon yesterday. It's all in here. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Is he saying here that we weren't righteous? Of course he's saying that. He had just said that we were without hope. We were without the ability to save ourselves. But scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, there could come a time that policeman seeking to do what is the greatest civic idea. Take me instead. Let her go. And take me instead. And he ended up dead. Sometimes one might lay down his life for a good person. Some would even dare to die. This policeman seeking to do a good deed, his life was taken. And the woman whom he replaced, she lost her life. Could we do that? And not me. I have responsibilities. I have my house to finish paying for. I'm not going to be that stupid. Are you saying that Christ was stupid when he stepped up, took the blame, took the awesome responsibility, and allowed his God life? Out of God life, he gave himself a willing sacrifice that he and I might have salvation today. So when you come on the night of the Passover and you take that little container of blood and the unleavened bread, it's not just for external show. Look what I'm doing. You should be thinking deep within your heart. My Savior gave his life instead of my life, but I might have life everlasting. Verse 8. Sad to that conjunction. But, what a difference. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. There it is. Sermon topic. Thank you for Christ died for us. Are we running past this a little too fast? God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Remember learning that in Sunday school? That's all you knew then. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can we comprehend the love of God? How many times as human beings we say, well, I don't like him, I don't like them. Who them? Another creature of God? Someone that God has made, and you say in your pomposity, I don't like them. Those people, I don't like them. The word said, God so loved the world. All of us. We didn't deserve it. Why Christ died for us? In demonstration of the boundless love of God to all human beings. You know the different kinds of love. You love your cat. You love your dog. You love your horse. There's a lady visiting here with us many years ago, and she had one or two horses, and she loved them dearly. Doesn't come anymore. Could it be that she loved her horse more than she loved God? My God. But God's love is so boundless man many years ago wrote, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. In Revelation it says that there will come a time when there will be no more sea. Can you imagine the chasm and the void there will be if there's no sea? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll, the writing tablets, contain the whole. Those stretched from sky to sky, how vast, how immeasurable is the love of God. Christ died for us, why? Point one, we were without strength or ability to save ourselves, and we were in jeopardy. Christ died for us, why? Because of the great love of God for his creation. God sat in high heaven and saw Adam and Eve picking the fruit. Are you believing that story, Mr. Morris? That story's in your Bible and mine. And it's a part of the eternal word of God. And they voluntarily, under duress, but yet voluntarily, they picked the fruit. Oh, it was not the man. It was the woman. Do we need a sexist battle? Be it the man or the woman? The Lord God was abrogated. And they both partook of the same sin. Ah, it certainly wasn't sex. God had given them sex long before. So you can knock that idea out of the head. God created sex. I know that mankind has made it evil and dirty and whatever else. But pause to think that God created sex. How did we get off on that? I guess because we were talking about the love of God. So we were unable to save ourselves. And God, to demonstrate his care and his concern and his love for Adam and Eve, for all of mankind, he sent Christ to die for us. Now it goes on. That's just 2 points. I think I have about six of them. Good and save ourselves. In demonstration of the great love of God for us. What does verse 9 have to shed this information that we might understand the love of God and the death of Christ a little more? Much more, verse 9, then being now justified by his blood. Why does brother have to come into it? And brother asked, why all that blood? Why all that gore? Why they had to beat him so miserably to a pulp? And in that story, Mel Gibson, who has become nearly persona non grata because of something he said about the Jews many years ago. Matter of fact, when he was writing that, putting together that story and that play, he was asked by the Jewish community, please leave out Matthew 27:25. Don't put that in there. That's not true. What does it say? His blood. Be on us. And our children. Sometimes when we want something so badly, we make all kinds of stupid commitments. We say all sorts of stupid things. We say, don't put that in there. But the verse speaks for itself. It does not only apply to that community. It applies to all of Adam's race. Because his blood is upon us and our children. It was David who said, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We cannot get away. We are soiled. We are dirty. We are removed from God because of our sin. But God so loved us that he gave Jesus Christ to be the propitiation. All that glue that brings us together. Someone has said, one of the reasons Christ was stretched out so wide on that cross is it was a stake. It's to show that here was God reaching out to save humanity with one hand. Bridge that chasm that had developed between God on one hand and man on the other. And its purpose is to bring us together in one. We sang that first of the three songs this morning. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. So there's no place for you to say, them, I don't want to have anything to do with them. They, if you're fellow human beings, brethren, they also are included in God's great love. There's that theological term. Much more than being now justified. What is justified? Actually, it's reconciled. Means to be pronounced free from sin. Much more than being justified. You are justified when you come to know God as your Savior. You are justified, not in your sin, but pronounced righteous by God, who sees you through his Son, Jesus Christ. You're justified. Justified by his blood. Blood. The blood of Christ was spilled and sacrificed and freely flowed that you might be incorporated in that flow. The blood of Jesus Christ has reached to me. And I, sinful though I am, that blood brings me justification so that God can pronounce me righteous. Some folks shy away from righteous. I can't be righteous. Could you be then trampling on the blood of Jesus Christ that is the basis of your justification? How dare you? Christ died for us, brethren. An enormous statement. A theological fact. And I hope by you an accepted truth. Christ died for you. Like it or not. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved. You know, in God's church, we don't use that term very much. We use the term called. Has God called you? Have you been suddenly struck with the awesome wrath of God? We're going to talk about wrath in a minute. That you realize that I am at wit's end corner. God, who is righteous and holy and good and pure and upright, and I, who am nothing, I think that's the word of a song. I, who am nothing, no good, dirty, foul, away from God. He justified me. Said we shall be saved. Shall is future. Future tense. Remember that to school. We shall be saved. But the word saved is used so glibly and so lightly by those who would like to follow God's way. So I'm saved. It says shall be saved. We say in God's church, we've been called of God. And it's very sad when someone in the confines of God's church does not recognize that you are special. You've been called by God. We read of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. You know the story of Acts chapter 9. And on his way there to do a dirty deed, persecute the church of God, suddenly a light struck him. And he realized that, I can't see. And then he heard the voice of God, Jesus Christ, who is God, saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He could have retorted, I'm persecuting you. God killed his Christian people, taking your name in vain, as far as I know. He was zealous for his religion. God called Saul of Tarsus, clearly, unmistakably, purposefully, intentionally. God wanted to call Saul of Tarsus. The same with you, brethren. God wanted to call you. You're not here by accident. You're not here because, well, it's a Saturday church, and I think Saturday is the right day. People come up with all sorts of glib answers. God calls us to his way of life. And you've got to be clear in your mind that God is calling you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And here I am. As Martin Luther said, Martin Luther King, Martin Luther the reformist, that here I stand, I can do well. That the just shall live by faith. So we don't use the term save glibly or lightly, but we refer to being called of God. And when the call of God is upon you, you cannot but obey God. So obedience is a part of the Christian life. We gave a sermon a couple of weeks ago, or a month or two ago, on disobedience. The very Paul says in Acts 26, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. What about you, brethren? Are you obedient to the calling that God has put upon you? Or are you obedient to exactly what he wants from you? So we are justified by his blood, and if we are, we shall be saved. There's another word in there from Ra. What does that word find itself? How does it find itself in there? Ra? Can you equate Ra with God? Paul said, we can be angry, but sin not. You can become annoyed, but there's no need for profanity. That's where you get off on the wrong foot. You can be justifiably angry. But when you begin adding parents' names in there, that's when you fall off the train. But God can be wrathful. God had sent Noah to preach his truth to a generation that had gone astray. The word of God says that the very thoughts of men were evil. And God decided to clean the face of the earth of everything. And he saved Noah, a just man, talking about just, justified, and his wife, his three sons and his three daughters-in-law. And by then, he started the whole process all over again. God was not happy in heaven, smiling while hundreds of people drowned. God does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. But yet, God has a wrath level. And it says here that you might be saved from wrath through Christ. Do you think you'd like to experience the wrath of God? The Bible says that the wrath of God will come upon all disobedience of men. So Paul is saying, Christ died for us. that we might be saved from the wrath of God. I don't want the wrath of God. I don't want to be separated from God. No, that's why Christ died. To bring me back to God. To interrupt my evil path. And to show me the path to God. Verse 10. I said, Paul gave me the sermon, it's all in here. For if when we were enemies, have you ever considered yourself an enemy of God? If you're not doing God's will, if God has given you his Sabbath, for instance, and his holy days, and you say, oh, that's not to me. That's to the people in the Old Testament. You can't consider yourself an enemy of God. Talk about enemy of the state. You can't be an enemy of God if you turn your back on his truth. What about those who once followed God's way of life? We call them long ago the backslid. They've backslidden. They've fallen from grace. You don't want to be in that state. If God is taking the time to call you, you better walk in his path. Obey his word. Do his will. Keep his Sabbath. Not singular. Keep his Sabbaths. Because every holy day is a Sabbath day. And the world does not know that. That's what Deacon Jeff was reading. Every holy day is a Sabbath day. And it deserves the same respect, regard, and honor. For those of you who keep the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath and do. Seven Sabbaths. God expects you to keep every one of them holy. But somebody said, well, I'm not holy. You ought to be. That's why Christ died, to make you holy. And the word of God said he's coming back for a holy people, a spotless church. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled or justified to God by the death of his son. Repeat this term several times. That's the season we're in. The season of the death of Christ. But thank God in this season, he's also resurrected Christ. We don't serve a dead Christ. We have all these religions in the world today. The Buddhist, Islam, Hinduism, Shintoism, and all the isms. And they rejoice in who their God was and who their elevated person was. But they have a grave that they can take you to and say, oh, here's where the great one lies. Except I think Muhammad, they said he went to heaven on a horse. But in all religion, we say, we serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. Our Savior is not dead. He died that we might have to be the propitiation for our sins. But he's the risen Savior. And he might reconcile us to God by the death of his son. So much more, being reconciled, we shall be anticipating, we shall be saved by his life. You know, theologically, what saves us? Is it the death of Christ or the life of Christ? If Christ had remained dead in that tomb, we would have had no salvation. He died for us, yes. We appreciate that. Then after 3 days and three nights, he was still in that tomb, as other religionist leaders are. We would have had no salvation. But we are saved by his life. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He lives within us. Because we've come to give him our hearts And more than that, all eyes. Verse 11. And not only so, there's more to go. Not only what we've said, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Do you joy in God? Do you look at your religion and, oh, I can't work on Saturday and make that extra money. I gotta give up Saturday work and follow God. When I got my calling first from God, I was like everybody else, not knowing God, enemy of God, too weak to save myself. And the job that I had, you had to work on Saturday to complete the week. And then the truth of God began striking me, and I realized, uh-oh. They said that I can't work on Saturdays. That was a blow to me. I had a family to take care of. And these days you don't walk away from a job. Jobs are too hard to get. Even though there was a time when I had about two or three jobs. Some people have none. And they still have to live. Christ gave his life a sacrifice. The word here utilized is that he became our atonement. That's a theological word. But when you were going to school, if you remember, when I was going to school, which was a long time ago, even though we're always in school, this word atonement is kind of long. And we were taught when you have a long word, break it up in syllables. And if you look at this word atonement, and we try to break it up, what does it say? At the first section, one meant. So Christ became our atonement. He brings us back to God in one. That's why you ought to love one another. Christ or atonement. Christ or at-one-ment. He is to bring us back into harmony with God. At-one-ment. Couldn't save ourselves without strength. Christ died for us to demonstrate powerfully and clearly the love of God. Christ died for us that we might be justified or reconciled or pronounced righteous by God himself. No one else can pronounce us righteous. Not the priest, not the pope, not the preacher, but God through Christ can pronounce us justified. Because remember, sin is against God. What did David say in Psalm 51? Against you, you only have I sinned. That does not mean if you lie on somebody, you should not go back and say you're sorry. But all sin, all breaking of the law is against God. So David said, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Remember the evil he did? He had Uriah killed. And in all mad dash about doing things for our own likeness, we trample over a lot of people to get our own ends. And sometimes when we get what we feel we have to have, it is not as good as we thought it would be. Remember Christ, when Christ was born, the king thought, wait a minute, if I mean you're looking for a king, I'm the king around here. Oh yeah, and we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. What are you talking about? You know what? You go find him. And when you find him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. How hypocrite can you be? He didn't want to worship the Christ child. Christ was a child one time. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. And when to his surprise, the wise men did not return with the news he wanted. The word of God said he sent and had all children from about 2 years of age and under slain, because he thought by having his own way, he could eliminate the Christ child. Could do that. Nor can you eliminate Christ out of your life. He should be a very integral part of your life, because he is the only savior of the world. No other religion says that their leader is a savior. So that we might be justified. That he might save us from wrath. Why did Christ die? That he might save us from the wrath to come. In the book of 2 Corinthians, take a look at that. Chapter 9. Verse 15. It's like the last verse in that chapter. Again, Paul, exultant, clear in his own thinking, fully comprehending the salvation of God. Hear what he says. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that gift is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. The gift of God to all mankind. Those who trample his Sabbath. Those who blaspheme his name. Those who shun his truth and defy his law. He's still the Savior of the world, the only Savior of the world. It is for us to accept Christ in our lives, not just in our heart. The heart is a muscle. You can take somebody's heart out and then give it to somebody else. But we want to accept Christ as Savior in our minds, the very seat of all our life. Have you seen somebody with their mind gone? It's a pitiable sight. They walk the streets muttering, fighting themselves, saying things that seem to have no meaning. But when the mind of Christ is in you, by the power of God, Holy Spirit, you know why Christ died for us. The very Paul says to the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Brethren, it's a good thing Christ died for us. I couldn't have done it. You couldn't have done it for me. The only Savior of the world is Jesus Christ. That's why we look at Christ died for us. He's our atonement. And in God's church, the atonement is a different holy day. That's further down in the year. Not that God is confused. Christ is our atonement now to take away our sins. But the atonement will come when Christ deals with all mankind, even those who rejected him. In what is known as the Day of Atonement, at one moment, and God will forever do away with the evil one who's led mankind for these many years, seeking to keep him away from the salvation of God. But God's salvation is sure. It's still available. Have you availed yourself of it as yet? Bear this in mind. Christ died for us. Let's live as though we understand that. And if we do, we will be the better for it. And God will be pleased with all mankind who submit to his way of life.